It's time to take a stand with Eric Barger. Each week at this time, author, speaker, and noted Christian apologist Eric Barger is here to help you discern the times in the light of God's Word. And now, here's Eric Barger.
Greetings, everybody. Eric Barger here. Take a Stand Radio is indeed on the air. So glad you joined me today. We've been listening to a message called Errors of the Emergent Church, recorded at the Discerning the Times Conference in Hamilton, Ohio last year. This will be part three today. Now, if you missed part one and two, we have those archived in our radio archives on the website at ericbarger.com. That's ericbarger.com. You'll also find about 1,100 pages of documentation and information there. So there's all kinds of resources dealing with apologetics and discernment, the cults, the occult, spiritual warfare, and of course, issues such as the emergent church. In part one of the message, we define the terms as the emergent church defines them and show you how they use particular words, but they may have attached radically different meanings to those words. In part two, I talked about my experiences at a Brian McLaren conference. Now, McLaren is a well-known author and probably known as the godfather of the emergent church movement. A very nice guy, but at the same token, teaching something that is very dangerous heresy inside of the Christian church. In part three, we'll begin with the biblical admonition of what the Apostle Paul said to his son in the faith, Timothy, concerning error and false doctrine. And it will get us started on the right foot as we listen to part three of the message, and we'll have part four next week. So this will be a four-part message dealing with the errors of the emergent church. So with that said, here we go into the message. 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul warns Timothy to be careful to do exactly the opposite of what the emerging church is advocating today, and that's the faithful preaching of the Word of God. Paul says to Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. He says to you and me, and to Timothy, he says, preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season. And then do stuff the church doesn't do today. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, and be long-suffering with people, and always use doctrine as you do it, Timothy. That's what Paul's saying here. He says, for the time will come, prophetically speaking, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You know what that means? People will want to hear what they want to hear, and they'll hire people to tell them what they want to hear, and they'll get just what they deserve. And that's what's happened. And they shall turn their ears away from the truth because they'd rather believe a myth, a fable. That's the Greek word for mythology right there. They'd rather believe a myth. They have turned unto fables. And then he says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And Paul says, I know my time is coming to an end. I have fought the fight. I have run the race. And there's a crown of righteousness ready for me and anybody else who will follow the truth. That's the reward. This is the day we live in, being discussed in this scripture right here. But you know, if you talk to the emergents about this, they would say, well, we really can't be sure about this. Because after all, God really doesn't know the future. Yeah, that's a belief system called open theism that says that God lived in the past, that God lives in the present, but God has no idea what the future holds. Open theism. And two of the three main proponents in the world of open theism are teaching in Nazarene colleges. Thomas Ord and Carl Giberson, Eastern Nazarene and Northwest Nazarene. It should shock us all. And I'm sure some of you sitting here who are Nazarenes are wondering, but I'm telling you, you can't leave without a fight. You got to stand up and be counted. You got to let people know. You got to let pastors and district officials know that you're onto this and you're not going to give up without a fight. That the truth and the scripture and the people who are being affected adversely, who are going to die and go to hell unless we stand up, are more important than what people might think of us.
Now, emergent leaders like Doug Padgett and Tony Jones and Brian McLaren and others were all together in the Young Leadership Network in the 1990s, and that's really where the emergent church came from. It's less than 20 years old. There was a pastor who was involved in those discussions who was a part of the Young Leadership Network, and he says the theological discussions in those early days that turned him off, that made him actually leave the group, these were the discussions. They were asking, does God really know the future? They were already employing the ideas of open theism at that point in time, that God really probably didn't know what the future held. By the way, if God doesn't know the future, you can tear Matthew 24 and Luke 21, the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, the book of Ezekiel, all of them out of your Bible right now, as well as so many other passages. Just think about that, if God doesn't know the future. They were saying, does gender really come with distinction? They were asking, is homosexuality really a sin? They were saying, are we all really sinners by nature? They're questioning the fall of mankind. And they were saying, do we really need to keep those pesky doctrines like the doctrine of the Trinity? In other words, all these things they said was just too binding, and we don't need all these things. We want a Christianity formed the way we want it, because they wanted Christianity to be a conversation. You know what? Like I said earlier, this is exactly what happened in Genesis chapter 3. Hath God said? It's the same Spirit turning the Word of God into a mere conversation. The problem is, these are emergents claiming to be evangelicals, but seeking to question God's Word. Tony Jones told the National Youth Workers Convention 5 years ago, emergent doesn't have a position on absolute truth, or in anything for that matter. At least that was an honest statement there. And then there's Rob Bell, maybe the rock star of the whole movement. 10,000 people in his church in Granville, Michigan. His Pneuma DVD series, some of them are very, very good. So, I mean, some of them are really good. That's the problem is, just like in Mormonism, the emergent church doesn't teach error every second of the time. It's always a little error mixed into the truth. A little more error mixed into the truth. A little more error, and finally our consciences are broken down. Our spiritual conscience gets broken down. The more error gets put in. We can't just sit by and say, well, error doesn't matter. It does matter. Heresy matters. Now, on salvation, the cross, and repentance, Rob Bell says this, and instead of offering himself as a once-for-all sacrifice of the sins of mankind, that Jesus dies to prove to the human race that God is not angry with them. He loves them pretty much like we are, and there is no need to repent. That's what he told the crowd at the Nokia Theater in Grand Prairie, Texas, 3 years ago, that there's no need to repent. In fact, he said, repentance is not turning from sin. It's a redefinition going on, folks, isn't it? Because repentance is turning from sin. He said repentance is a celebration of life in Christ, and he says anyone who tells you need to repent is not talking about Christianity, so I guess he's talking about me. Because if he's right, John the Baptist couldn't have been, Peter couldn't have been, Paul couldn't have been, and Jesus certainly wasn't right, was he? If repentance isn't a mandatory idea. See, I believe repentance is demanded by the Scripture for those to be saved. A lot of people don't see it like that. I'm not going to get off onto Rick Warren and the purpose-driven life, but Rick Warren never mentions repentance anywhere in the purpose-driven plan. My biggest problem with the purpose-driven plan is that repentance is negated. But like Brian McLaren and Tony Jones, Rob Bell is a theological revisionist. He simply doesn't like what the Bible is teaching, and he's teaching false doctrine to do so. Bell said, this is part of the problem with continually insisting that one of the absolutes of the Christian faith must be belief in Scripture alone is our guide. He says it sounds nice, but it's not true. He says when people say all we need is the Bible, it's simply not true. And he wrote that in his book, Velvet Elvis. And, you know, the first editor I had on my very first book back in 1987, the day the book was finished, she came in and she threw the paper manuscript down on the table, because back in those days we didn't have computers, we used a typewriter, you know. And she threw it down on the table and she said, do you really believe everything in this book? And I was kind of taken aback because she'd never been like that with me before. And I said, yes. And she said, are you sure? I said, I'm positive. She said, good, because once we print this, it will follow you around the rest of your life and you'll have to defend it. That was really good information for a young author. And he's going to have to defend this statement or recant of it, one of the two. Brian McLaren says the cross is almost a distraction and false advertising for God. These people don't like the cross. The hymn writers did, because the hymn writers said that we glory in the cross. I thank God Jesus went to a cross and he paid the price on that cross, aren't you? Thank God. Thank God. Tony Jones calls the doctrine of original sin a depraved idea. He said, I've come to reject the notion of original sin. I consider it neither biblically, philosophically, or scientifically tenable. Brian McLaren recommends a book by Steve Chalk, who's in another emergent, called The Lost Message of Jesus. And in the book, he calls the cross divine child abuse. Folks, there is so much more to this message that I won't have time to give you. So much more that we've taken out of it. But I think you already have an understanding. If you've never heard before, you know now that something's amiss inside the emergent church. Emergents seek to ignore or exchange the sinfulness of man for the goodness of God, but they want to take the bloody cross out. And without the bloody cross, there is no faith. This leads to a corrupt lifestyle, is what it comes down to. You take the cross out, you take the Word of God out, suddenly you have a shell, but you don't have the original intent of the Word of God. This is why these guys, to a man, all advocate that homosexuality is okay. These are evangelicals, remember? Or they claim to be. They claim to be. Brian McLaren says he can't answer the question because he's going to hurt somebody on either side. Tony Jones, in 2008, in November, on his own blog, said that he believes the church should sanction and bless homosexual relationships. Made that statement very clearly there. Doug Padgett was asked, is homosexuality incompatible with the Christian faith? And Padgett, who has a large church up in Minneapolis, said, no, being gay and Christian is not a contradiction in any way. To me, being gay and Christian is like saying, I have some Christian cocaine for you. How about some Christian pornography? These are terms that do not go together. But when doctrine is exchanged for lies and the creation is worshipped instead of God, we should have seen this was coming. We should have known that homosexuality would flourish the minute the earth worship of the 1960s and 70s became a pervasive thought in our culture. You know why? Because Romans chapter 1 teaches us this. It gives us a prophetic chronology that when men begin to worship the earth instead of God, the next thing that will happen is it'll be men with men and women with women. The Word of God warned us that would happen. Because the Word of God is true for what it says. God is good for what He's spoken. Amen? God is not one that He would lie. But remember, these are evangelicals promoting this. And just very quickly, for just a minute, I want to give you a little of the mysticism that's going on. And that could be an entire seminar. I have a new DVD out there in Jan Markell's DVD series that we've got on our table, DVDs and CDs both. But in that message, I talk about, is your church New Age, Emergent, or Christian is the name of the message. And I quote emergent leaders and New Age leaders, and they're the same quotes. They're the same quotes. These people have the same philosophies. This is the underlying spiritual foundation with labyrinths and yoga and chanting and the Eastern mystic techniques that I learned as a New Ager and Lectio Divina and bringing us back into the Catholicism and the practices of Roman Catholicism. The whole idea of the labyrinth used by the modern mystic to help achieve a contemplative state. Whole idea comes out of occult mysticism. It comes right from Tantric Buddhism. This is a picture of Bible college students in the stations of a labyrinth. That picture is on the Tribeca Nazarene University website. Being advocated inside what claims to be evangelical churches. Rob Bell says this is not the same old message with new methods. We're rediscovering Christianity as an Eastern religion, as a way of life. Following this leads people directly into the world of the occult. And it ends up in universalism, that everyone is already saved. Doug Padgett says the gospel can be found in other world religions. This is why Doug Padgett and Rob Bell can go and sit at the feet of the Dalai Lama and call him His Holiness and never mention Jesus Christ. Padgett and Bell were both part of the Seeds of Compassion event that took place in April 2 years ago out in Seattle, where they filled up Quest Field, where the Seahawks play football, 103,000 seats to see the Dalai Lama and a bunch of religious leaders from around the world. This is the list of the religious leaders that were there in one of the forums that my wife and I were there. I mean, we either were there or we watched on television all of these. Now look at this. His Holiness, the Dalai Lama, who will die in his sins and go to hell unless he finds Jesus Christ. That's just the bottom line. Archbishop Desmond Tutu, the President of the Islamic Society of North America, the Chairman of the International Jewish Committee, a Zen Buddhist master, then Rob Bell, emergent Christian leader, a Benedictine Catholic nun, a Hindu philosopher, Doug Padgett called an evangelical emergent Christian leader, an Episcopalian bishop, a Baha'i leader, a civil rights leader, an interfaith leader, a Muslim scholar, a Sikh philosopher, and the chairman of the United Nations UNESCO, all there on the platform at once. And I turned to my wife and whispered, "I'm waiting for the curtain to part and the Antichrist to walk out." Mark my words, ladies and gentlemen, it will be just that sort of crowd who will someday stand on international TV with every eye in the world watching them as they announce they have found a leader to solve the problems of the world. And they point to the Antichrist, and the world won't realize what they've gotten for 3.5 years. It'll just be that kind of a group. Padgett and Bell, neither one in every one of the sessions I watched of them, they ever mentioned the gospel, the Bible, or Jesus in any way. It was all about how we need to get along together. This is as bad as Rick Warren saying before the World Economic Forum that the future of the world was religious pluralism. And he meant it. He meant it. This is all about a need for a world religion. It's all about the work of the Antichrist. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And Paul's answer, have nothing to do with them. Don't dialogue with them. Some Texas preacher once said it very well. If you stick around heresy long enough, it'll get on you. See, Paul's remedy wasn't to see what he had in common with those who taught heresy. Paul's answer was to say, get away from them. And this passage, by the way, is not talking about the world. That's obvious because the world doesn't have a form of godliness, folks. This is talking about what the church will look like at the end of the end times. That's what this passage is referring to. People of religion. And it's describing the church of today. There are two issues at work in emergent philosophy. There is style that they would call emerging. That's the idea of how they dress and the atmosphere of the church, maybe more relaxed, etc., etc. And the idea of substance. That's what they would call emergent. That's their philosophy. That's their philosophy. So I'm not nearly as torqued with emerging as I am with emergent. You understand? I'm not defending either one. I'm just saying my relationship with God and Him living in me doesn't have to do with the idea that I have a suit or a jacket or a tie on today. Or whether I sang choruses or hymns. And I know there are people who disagree on all that. But I'm saying when they start monkeying around with the message, look out. When they start saying that the message has got to be changed, there's where I've got a problem. It's when the substance changes that I've got to stand up and say something. So whether it's called postmodern or postmortem, two things are still true. Mankind is still sinful from birth. Yeah, every one of those postmodern thinkers out there, they have the same problem that I did, and that was sin in my heart that was unrepented of, that wasn't covered by the blood of Jesus. The same problem. Who are we to say, who are we to think that we're doing anybody a favor because we say because they have iPods and MTV, they're different? How are we doing anybody a favor by dementing the gospel to the place where they can't be saved? All we're doing is assuring they can't be saved. The biblical message of heartbroken repentance and faith is the only answer for the emergent, the postmodern, or for you and me. Now, this is exactly what happened 150 years ago. They exchanged feelings for truth. They wanted an experience over doctrine. The followers of the emergent church have allowed experiences, feelings, and good works to become their master instead of their servant. The emergent church may claim to be Christians and quote the scripture and use terms we relate to and say they're relevant and pragmatic, but if they have denied the first century gospel, they are apostate and it needs to be spoken. To warn those who would listen to them, who would walk into the Christian bookstore and see Brian McLaren books right next to other good books, who would see Doug Padgett stuff right next to other good books. And by the way, if you're a Christian bookstore owner, I want to take up your cause for a second, because you can't police every single thing that comes into your bookstore. The problem is, the old reliable places aren't reliable anymore. It used to be if somebody came to my seminars back in the late 80s or 90s and they brought me a book that I didn't know who the author was, the first thing I would do is look at the spine to see who published it. And if it says Zondervan, I'd say it must be okay. You need your mind examined to think that way today. Just like it used to be you could tell your friends to go to any Methodist church and they'd hear the Word of God, or any Presbyterian church and they'd hear the Word of God, or any Episcopalian church and they'd hear the Word of God. And today you know you can't do that. But it used to be you could. But you can't do that anymore.
Folks, this is Eric Barger, and you're listening to Take a Stand Radio. We've been listening to part 3 of the message, The Errors of the Emergent Church. It comes from my multimedia presentation. It was recorded last year at Discerning the Times Conference in Hamilton, Ohio. Obviously, I'm passionate about this. This is an important message and something that the church needs to be dealing with here in these days. These are certainly the perilous times of the end days that the Scripture speaks so clearly and so poignantly about. And it's something that Bible believers are going to understand. You know, I should say it's not every person from every church, certainly not every leader in every denomination who has gone into apostasy. And I wish it was simple enough to say that Emergent always wore a badge and made announcements and let itself be known to others that it was going to change the way a denomination thought about Christianity or thought about the Bible. But it's not that simple. Emergent comes in just as liberalism came in, slowly but surely creeping its way in into the seminaries, into the denominations, into the upper echelon of the structure of denominations, and began to take over the minds and hearts of those who were in leadership. Slowly but surely it made its way into the pulpits of the denominations, and then finally into the pews. That's the way liberalism took over. That's the way Emergent is taking over too. I've called it, and called it often, a satanic redo of the way Satan tried to destroy the mainline, and really did destroy the mainline denominations 100 to 150 years ago. We're watching it all happen once again right before our eyes, but this time it's happening to us who call ourselves evangelicals in this modern day that we live in. You've been listening to part 3 of the message, The Errors of the Emergent Church. If you missed parts 1 and 2, feel free to go to our website, look for the radio archive, and you can listen to parts 1 and 2 anytime, 24/7, on demand. That's ericbarger.com is where you'll find all of that. ericbarger.com, ericbarger.com is the website, and while you're there, please make sure you sign up for a free information pack. We'd love to send you our newsletter. We do an e-newsletter as well as a print newsletter. The information pack has a free CD in it as well as newsletters and other information. And, of course, you can request that at ericbarger.com. Those who don't have Internet access can order that by calling us at 214-289-5244, 214-289-5244. You can also order a DVD of this presentation, The Errors of the Emergent Church. Go to our website, look in our secured bookstore, and you'll find The Errors of the Emergent Church. It has all of the PowerPoint, all the documentation and information that we've mentioned here on the radio over the last couple of weeks. You'll find it there in our website at ericbarger.com. Of course, you can call us at 214-289-5244 and order that as well. Thank you so much for praying for us. We sure appreciate your support and your prayers. Next week, we'll get into part 4, the conclusion of The Errors of the Emergent Church. And in the meantime, I encourage you, make a stand, tell people the truth, stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. He honors and blesses it when we decide to take our stand in His name. God bless you.
With nearly 3 decades of experience, Eric Barger and Take a Stand Ministries exists to see the lost saved and the church changed by providing cutting-edge insight on issues facing us today. This is a listener-supported ministry, and your participation is needed. Please consider a gift to help Eric and Take a Stand challenge both the world and the church. Send your gifts and requests for products mentioned on this broadcast to Post Office Box 1485, Rowlett, Texas, 75030. That's Post Office Box 1485, Rowlett, Texas, 75030. Or call us at 214-289-5244. This is John Clemens reminding you to join us right here again next week, encouraging you to take a stand for Jesus Christ each and every day.
The book of Nehemiah tells the story of how the people of God joined with a common purpose to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Today, the church is facing the same situation the Israelites faced. Our walls are broken down, and there is much opposition, even from inside the camp. This is Eric Barger, and this is the time to take a stand against false doctrine and cultic beliefs and do battle for the lost. Under Nehemiah's leadership, it only took 52 days to rebuild the wall. Take a Stand Ministries is dedicated to mending the broken condition in today's church 52 weeks a year. I'm looking for 100 partners to give $52 or more every month to meet the needs of Take a Stand Radio. Are you one of those courageous builders willing to help? If so, please contact me today at ericbarger.com or call us at 214-289-5244. Together, let's build this wall for the King of Kings and for the sake of lost souls.